Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for returning back this Thursday to the Lisa Experience. Tonight, we're honoring mothers. Mother's Day will be Sunday. We honor mothers every day, but tonight we'll be dedicating this night to honoring mothers. Mothers, M-O-T-H-E-R-S. As James Brown stated, it would be nothing. The world would be nothing without a woman. We all have mothers in one way or the other. We can't even be born or have a life without a mother. You don't have to be a mother to be a mom to someone. We have godmothers. We have stepmothers. We have people that adopt us, people that take us in. We have neighbors, we have teachers, we have nurses, we have doctors, can all be a mother to a child because we all need love. And not saying that fathers don't give it to you, but mothers. And, you know, I always go back in time and mention little things about myself. That's why it's called the Lisa Experience. Mothers, find out that we're going to have a baby. It doesn't seem like anything. We just know that we're having one. We don't even know what's going on. But as time goes on and the baby starts growing inside our bodies, we know that we're getting ready to start a new life in life. And as our bellies start growing and the baby's getting bigger, we start preparing not only for the baby to come, but for what we have to go through and for our body have to go through to birth this child to become a mom. And when that day come, pushing and we're waiting and time is going by and we get to the point that we can't take it anymore, and then when it all comes to this, we just can't handle it anymore, that's when our baby comes. And when our baby comes and is born, we become a mother. And we watch over this baby. We get up in the middle of the night. We feed them. We change them. We hold them. We mother them. We watch that no one else harms them. And as they grow, we watch them as they take their first step. We watch them as they make their first words. We watch them as they walk off and go into school. We watch them as they go on their own as a play date. To make sure everything is okay. We watch them when they first learn how to ride a bike. We watch them the first time they might even go on a ride or go camping or somewhere on school. Most times, mothers, we go on the trips with them because we're watching them. We're afraid. We want to make sure everything's going to be all right. And we talk to them and we nurture them and we love them. And we help them to learn how to be in this world that sometimes is good and sometimes is darkness in the world. But that's why we're called mothers, because we're here to bring our children to the point of being able to become an adult and live in this world, mothers. We love so hard that we love from the bottom of our heart. We'll take our own life just for our child to live. We give up any type of thing that we choose that we dreamed about doing or having for our children. We'll work 3 and 4 jobs just to make sure they have shelter and food and clothes. Sometimes we give up a love of our life because things ain't working out for our children to have a better life. Mothers, sometimes we stay up all night long when they're not feeling good as the day go on. Mothers, M-O-T-H-E-R, it's a hard pill to swallow. Now, don't get me wrong, every mother is not a mom. Some don't know how to be mothers, and that's okay. Can't be what everybody else is. Each mother is different. Each mother carry herself different. Each mother train and teach and work with their children differently. What works for me may not work for another person. How I treat my kids, maybe another mother don't. How I feel about my kids, maybe another parent don't. But we're still mothers. We still give birth to children. And this is how life goes on. It's a cycle. Girls grow up, and that's what we do. We eventually become a mother, care of the children for people. Well, that's why we become godmothers, and we take that vow that if something happens to the child's mother, we will become that mother and do what that mother did. And that's why mothers are careful when they choose a godmother, because they want that person to be able to do the same or even better for their child if for some reason they leave this earth. Mothers. And we heard so many songs, so many movies how mothers sacrificed their children for to make it better. Just being in COVID, we had to spend time with our children. We had to get to know them. Some was good, some was bad. Because we was put in the house for 2 years. We had to become their teacher. We had to become their everything. We was in the house with them and with our mate. And some survived, some didn't, but it's all how we worked it out. But I'm going to tell you, to me, it was the greatest gift I ever had, becoming a mom, being with my children, places and hanging out with them, because you only get one life to spend with your child. Before you know it, they are grown and they're moving on and having their own family and life, and you're left back. But you're good. You're glad. Because you did your job. And you don't have to get praise for what you did. Like I always tell my kids, you don't have to do nothing for me for Mother's Day. I'm your mom every day. But it's nice to be thought about. It's a hard job. I look back in life, my first child, I was a teenager. I was only 17. I was going for my high school diploma. I was still trying to be a teenager. I was a mother. And I had to make right decisions at that time. There wasn't no time for me to get into whatever I wanted to get into. I had to become responsible. I had a person looking up to me. But also I had to do right by that person by getting my high school diploma, furthering my education, trying to be responsible, getting a job and taking care of them. Mother, the things that we do for our child. And then as you have more, or maybe sometimes you don't, but if you have more, then you get to experience being a mother of more than one child and what you have to do. It's a hard job being a parent. Sometimes I think about how we don't appreciate when we are little or kids living in our parents' house, how we take for granted how we get clothes and we got our own rooms and food is in the house and we asking them for money and we wanting more and we want to go places, we want to do stuff and we want the most important things that come out. We want them to buy it for us. We forget. Even though we got them, we didn't think about what it took for them to... Mothers, they worked late at night and get up early in the morning, make sure we got breakfast, our clothes are clean, we ready for the day. We just take that for granted because when we wake up, we just think that everything is there. We don't take the preparation that she has to go through to make sure that everything is right for us. That when we go off to school, we don't have to think about what we're going to eat when we come home, how our clothes are washed when we come home. It's going to be warm at home because a mother prepares all that for a child. So all they can think about is doing what they need to do at school and leave the other things to a mother to take care of. Now, I'm not speaking about fathers because it's Mother's Day. But we all know fathers have a big part, too, and we'll get to them next month. But this month is for mothers. I know a lot of people haven't heard, but today I found out I lost one of my brothers, my second oldest brother. And I was telling my brother Randy that, you know, the show must go on. For my brother, the second oldest brother, for example, he didn't grow up with us, and he had very much hatred for my mom because he grew up with our grandparents. And he disrespected my mom a lot because something she did when she was young. See, when parents are young, they do a lot of things to us, but they're young. And sometimes they don't know what they're doing because they're not mature-minded or they don't have the wisdom to know. But see, when we're a kid, we don't understand. But when we become adult, you have to understand that whatever your mother might have did or didn't do, it was your mother. You need to respect that part. She the one that carried you for 9 months in her belly. She the one took hours to bring you to this honest earth to be born. She's the one that worked hard for years, getting up in the middle of the night, taking care of you, making sure everything's right. And even if you didn't grow up with her, which we all want to, sometimes things are not possible. And you can't fault the person for whatever they do. No mother is perfect on this earth. We have to remember, no mother is perfect. And we're going to make mistakes. So mean that we have to disrespect the person that birthed us to this earth. We got to start thinking of people as they make mistakes. And as I talk about it last week, forgiveness. You got to forgive. You don't want to leave this earth holding hatred for somebody when you could have lived your life and let it go. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about mothers.
For me, for all the truth that you made me, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made so true, for all the love that I see you, I'll be forever thankful, baby.
Welcome back, everyone. And tonight, as I was saying before, we honor any mothers. And when we think about Mother's Day, we have to think about the mothers that people have lost, the mothers that haven't gave birth yet. We have to think about mothers that are incarcerated. We have to think about mothers that can't be with their children for whatever reason. We have to think about godmothers. We have to think about people who look out for people's children. See, sometimes we just think about the mothers that we see, but it's a lot of mothers behind the scenes that mothers to make it right and do the right thing with their children. How about all the grandmothers that are mothers, again, taking care of their grandchildren? There's many of them out there that's taking out their senior life to be mothers to their grandchildren. Not saying it's right or it's wrong, but it's a thing that you got to do. Sometimes things happen, as I was saying before, that people have to take responsibility and take care of these children that are born. Tonight, my co-host, Miles, is going to be coming on in a minute. But I just want to tell a story again. When I had four brothers, and when I got pregnant, I thought that they would dog me out or talk bad about me, you know, or say stuff that I was stupid or whatever. But all four of my brothers, they uplifted me. They encouraged me. I had one brother that used to take me out and talk to me and made me feel that, you know, it's just a thing that's happening in life. You're gonna be all right. You know, Randy, of course, he was the youngest brother. He always was in the house with me. And when I was real sick with morning sickness, he always was by my side. You know, oh, Lisa, is it really bad or what's going on? You know what I mean? My brother I just lost, he always said, sis, you know, this is just one thing. You know, you're going to be great, brother. He was one that really helped me out because he had lost both his kidneys at the time I was going to have my daughter, and he helped me take care of her and became her godfather or father because he was always there with her. And I remember my first Mother's Day, he gave me a card, and to this day, 48 years later, I still think about the card that he gave me, that it was my first Mother's Day. And you always get your first. All the other ones is just is years that go by and your kids appreciate you, but your first is always special because you just became a mom. And I'm not saying that mothers make the earth go around, but I'm saying that it's a big part. It's a big part in our lives. So let's bring on Miles. Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
How you doing?
Good evening.
Miles? Yes, great to hear from you again.
I was listening to what you were saying, and you know, during our times, times was different than it is now, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get disciplined.
You had a story you might want to tell about your mom.
Yeah, my mom, she raised 14 kids. And, I mean, she taught us how to be a family, how to look out, you know, after each other, you know, how to treat people and stay out of grown folks' business. And what we learned from that is that, you know, the sacrifices she made to take care of us. You know, because when you have kids at a young, because my mother got married when she was 15. And her first son, when she was 16, she had her first baby. So, you know, as we grew up, she gave up a lot of stuff, you know, school, because she got pregnant young. And a lot of, you know, you know, women that have kids, they do sacrifice a lot for their family. some of them just like leave the baby home with the mom or the grandmother and them to go party, and they just do crazy things. But then you find the ones that actually, you know, take care of their kids and do the right thing. Because when I was listening to you, I was wondering, like, when you first found out you was pregnant, was you scared or did you say, oh, my God, I couldn't believe I went and got pregnant, you know? Because that's what my mother asked my sister when she got pregnant. She said, how
well,
you feel?
I'm going to tell you, back then they didn't tell you stories. Your parents,
right.
they let you go through life not knowing stuff that, you know, you shouldn't know. So, I mean, we are grown adults, so I could say it. But
right.
My mom, she said, when you have the baby, it's just going to feel like your menstrual cramps. So I said, well, shit, that sounds pretty good because I ain't have none. So when that first one came, and I said, oh, okay, I can deal with that. That's not that bad. But I went upstairs to the delivery room, and women were screaming and hollering. And I was like, oh, shit, I think I'm on the wrong floor. And
yeah.
later on, when it was my turn, and it's crazy. You know, men now could go into labor room with their woman. But back then, really, you couldn't. You could go and stay, but you couldn't see the baby being born. And let me tell you, I give kudos to any woman that had more than one, two kids. I really give them praise because, like, it's no joke. It's no joke. So anybody have over one or two, yeah.
You know, when my daughter was born in 81, they, you know, I was up there in the delivery room with these girls. It was seven women in there. I was the only guy in there because I was in there with my baby mother. And, I mean, them ladies were, like, in pain, and howling for pain. I think they call it a hemador, whatever the thing they call it. And it was, like, scared the hell out of me because I ain't never heard nobody scream like that. So, and then the doctor came out there, you know, he's sticking his hand all up in their crouch, talking about, oh, she dilated and she centimeters and all. Me and him got to the argument, like, man, you know, I started cussing him out because I'm like, what you doing, Philly, sticking your hand all up my girl? Because I didn't know they do that, you know, to check on the babies and shit. But when my daughter was born, the doctor said, you know, he told me I ain't allowed to, but he let me go in there and watch the baby be born. And that's the first time I said to myself, I swear to God, I'm glad I'm a man. Because I told him, if it was up to me having a baby, I'd tear every tube in me out of me.
Yeah.
And I swear, I mean, it was the most incredible thing I ever seen. But for you women to go through that for a child, you know, just to give birth, God bless you. I mean, it was, oh, Lord. Mm-mm.
Yeah, because my son just had another baby, and he take care of the baby during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me. We talk every day. He'd be like, Mom, he said, this is too much. You know, I got to get away. I got to get a break. This is a lot. And I don't really say anything. And once in a while, I'd be like, well, what you thought it was for me? You know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not a party. You never know what type of baby you're going to have. Some people get it easy, but some people get it rough. You never know what you're going to have. But
right.
Do it all. I always keep saying to them, if you just hang in there and when get a little older, you're going to be thankful that you hung in there and you did what you need to do, because that's when kids respect you and look up to you, because they know that you was with them through thick and thin. And that's what you call a parent.
Plus, you don't want to miss the moments like that, you know, holding them, talking to them. I used to sing to her stomach all the time, though. And when I used to touch her stomach and the baby be moving around, it just blew my mind that I'm sitting there like, she said, why are you standing? I said, you having a human life in there. I mean, you giving life, you know, about to come out of there. And, like, it was crazy. And this one lady, they had to cut her, they had to cut her because I don't know what they call that, but I'm like, damn, ain't they cutting the lady up? They said that's the only way he could come out because it won't come out the other way. And yeah, and to this day, I still can't believe the things you women go through to have kids and then they grow up and they drive you nuts.
Yeah, because my second child, I had to get a cesarean. And I remember my husband coming down the hallway to my room, and this one lady in the room before me had a baby as he was walking by. And he came in and he was like, oh, my God. I just seen the baby born. Oh, I'm going to fall out. Oh, I got to go home. I got to relax. I said, whoa. What's that got to do with me? Is you going to stay here? Oh, I can't. I got to go home. And I said, you really going to leave? And he left. And then I had to find out that I was having a cesarean. And I said to myself, he can leave, but I can't leave.
Right.
You know, that's what men got to realize, that we can't leave. We got to finish what's at hand. But y'all don't have to be there or y'all don't have to stay, but we have to stay there. And then,
and that's dangerous, too.
Yeah, this is what you men do. Then after I had the baby, he come walking down the hallway again saying, where's my son? Where's my son? Where's my son? So the nurse said, Mr. Williams, don't you want to see your wife first? And he was like, oh, yeah, where's my wife? So then he came in the room and he said, oh, how you doing? I said, well, I'm good. He said, okay, so where's my son? And I said, you know what? Just take that. Take him to go see his son. You know what I mean? Like, take him to see his son. Maybe he'll be all right now.
I did the same thing. After I saw my baby come out, and Lord, she was ugly. With all that stuff they had covered in, I thought it was a boy. I didn't know that cord thing was, like, you know, connected to the navel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn, my son's going to be large. I thought he had ass thing long. I was like, then they talk about cut the cord. I'm like, girl, man, you want me to cut my son thing off? I said, see, that's what's wrong with you people. Because I didn't know what was going on. I was like, see, that's what's wrong with y'all. I always want to cut our things off and stuff. And they would say, no, it's a girl, it's a girl. I'm like, yeah, right. He said, and I looked again after they, you know, I seen all that ookie stuff. And I'm like, damn, she ugly. What the hell happened to her? And then, like, they cleaned her up and everything like that. And then soon they cleaned her up. I was, girl, I swear, I left my baby mother right on that table. Barnum Hospital. You remember Barnum Hospital in Patterson, right?
Yeah, most of you all was going to Barnum.
Yeah, I just ran out of there. I'm running down Broadway yelling, I'm a dad, I got a girl. And then I got all the way down to McDonald's. I was like, oh, shit, I left my girl on the table by her damn self. That's when I realized it, and boy, did I get cussed out for the whole month.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. You no good, mama. Yeah, you try having. I like, yeah, girl, it ain't like the end of the world. Yeah, I knew she was in pain. Like, shit, I was like, I just had to sit there and get cussed out because I sure did left her.
And people don't realize that just the first year of life is like mind blowing, like that. The baby you wants attention 24 hours, and you're still living, and still working, and you're taking care of the rest of your family, or you're doing whatever you got to do, and you're still up at night 3 or 4 times a night. You know.
Yeah, I went through that, too.
Yeah. It's things you just got to do, and the thing about it is back then, like you said, we had to buy milk. We had to buy Pampers. We didn't We didn't have we didn't have all that stuff that we could buy. I remember my daughter's milk was 67 cents a can. Pampers was $1.67 for a box. And then she got allergic to Pampers, and I had to use real diapers. So then I had to wash the diapers. But people had diaper service back then, remember?
Yeah.
If you can afford it, they had diaper service. But
exactly.
It was a lot, you know. And then remember the bottles were real, you know, that was glass.
The so glass the, bottles. And all the bobby pins, all them pins, safety pins. Lord.
Yep, the body, and you had to make sure you didn't stick the baby or you didn't lose it or the baby and try to eat it. Yeah, it was bad.
Let me tell you, when I first changed my daughter's diaper, I went to pick her, you know, her butt up, and she shitted in my hand. And my dumps behind, I wiped it on her stomach because I didn't know what to do. I used to call my mother, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, Ma, she won't go to sleep. What to do? My baby mother, she was like, we was like new at this. You know, she already had a son, but to me, it was like new to me, and she sleep. She could sleep too, boy. And I'm sitting here like, oh, I was scared to go to sleep because I checked her every 5 minutes to see what she breathing. You feel their stomach, you know, being that my vision was not that great, but I used to always put my hand on her, make sure she breathing and stuff, and I mean, it was like scary, nervous for me because I like, I don't know how you women could do that.
Yeah, and then you're going through you're going through changes because you got somebody glued to your hip all day long and you ain't getting no sleep. You like delirious and people that don't have, that's why I can't understand like people that come to the country without their family. Like, how could you do it? You know what I mean? Like, how could they take care of a baby and they got no family like to give them a break for like a day or an hour? Like, you know, like I feel for people. I always tell them, look, if you want a break, call me. I'll take the baby like for like an hour or so because, you know, like my son, one night he showed up, him and his girlfriend, 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, we can't take it. Can't take it. Baby ain't stop crying. And I brung him in. They came in and I put the baby to sleep, the baby slept all night long, and I let them get rest because that's what you got to do. That's what they say when you say a village. You got to be a village. So everybody got to put their hands and help everybody out. You just can't be, oh, well, you know how they say back then, oh, well, you made your bed, now you lie in it. No. People need help. It's a baby. You don't want nobody to get. Like my son gets sometimes frustrated, and I'd be like, look, just come down here, and you go ahead, and I'll watch the baby. Y'all just go get a rest. Or I'll go to New York, and I'll stay, and I'll cook for them, and I'll watch the baby while they get relaxed. Because that's a job a mom do. You know,
right.
Even though I'm a mom, your grandmother, same thing. You help people. You know, don't stress them out more. It's a, like you said, sometimes you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean? But,
okay.
Like, he called me and be like, oh, do you think this is enough of milk or is this right? And I'd be like, and I had to tell him all the time. I said, you know what, son, I'm telling you, you a good dad because a lot of men wouldn't be doing what you do. And you taking care of a baby that it cries a lot and it's hard on you and you're not feeling good a lot yourself. And you got to praise people for what they do right, not always digging for what they're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Lisa, but, you know, then you realize when you sit there and look at the baby, you're like, oh, my God, this is a life I have to, you know, I got to raise this baby. I got to take care of her because she, you know, she helps. I got to do this. And then, you know, you sit there and you're like, this is actually really happening because it kicks in after a while. You're like, oh, my God, this is real.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I seen my daughter when I had her, and I looked and I said, and she looked at me and I looked at her and I said, oh, God, I really got to get my shit together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's no more like being a kid no more. Yeah.
And it ain't no doll baby. That's a real baby.
A real one, real and alive.
And then what happens? Years later, we're going through it again. Honey, I'm pregnant. First time, like, oh, Lord. And you wonder why, like, these babies, they're like, why you want to have another one? Oh, I want another one. I'm like, oh, Lord. Honey, do you remember what we went through with the first one? You want to go through that again? That's life.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it is.
It is. And
the things y'all do, the sacrifices you women make for the family.
Yeah, and then, like, I remember taking my daughter to the doctor, and they had to get the, you know, their shots, and you feel for them, like the doctor give them the needle and inside their thigh, and you'd be like, you could feel it, or when they got a cold and they can't really breathe, and it's not much you could give for them, and they got to go through it, and you know, and then how, like, sometimes they get hurt, and maybe by somebody, and then you gotta tell them that, you know, not to be vengeful, not to get really angry, but, you know, things happen, and not to turn the other cheek, but, you know, take care of yourself, but don't make it that you get so hateful that you want to harm somebody. That's what you gotta let your kids know, that it ain't worth harming somebody and then you lose your life. Just sometimes just you have to be careful the way you deal with stuff, especially when you got boys.
Yeah, because, you know, as a parent, that little baby life is in your hand, and you want to do the right thing by her.
Yeah, you do.
And it's amazing, too, when you watch them grow and, you know, you get to tell them about, you know, because I tell my daughter all the time, girl, my daughter used to climb on everything. I used to tell her aunts and them, when we all lived together, I said, look, please, when y'all go food shopping, take her out of the kitchen. Nah, auntie, I said, no, why? I said, because she where y'all put stuff, and she go after it.
Oh, okay.
I can hear the chair. She puts in the chair up to the refrigerator. She climb up on the chair, get on the side of the sink, climb up there, get on top of the refrigerator to get the cookies and chips. And then you come in and you, like, you see up there, and it's scary as hell when you turn around, you see her up there, like, how do you know, you ain't like how you got up there, like, oh, God, you don't want to yell at her, if you know, scare her, and then she might fall.
Yeah.
You know, but then you get it down, like, how the hell you get up there? Then you see what she did, like, I keep telling
her. Oh, okay.
They follow you.
Hold on.
We got a caller.
Yes. Caller. Hello?
Okay, I guess that's me. You know, y'all have to do a better job of letting me know when I'm coming in.
Yeah, I was about to say, say something that lets you in labor.
We have to talk about that one later, Miles.
Okay.
I just wanted to call because the topic is Mother's Day, and just wanted to tell a little story about how great my mom was when I had my daughter. I know she listening in La La Land. Like she said, I was a person that I didn't really care for kids, didn't like kids, didn't want to babysit kids. I had a godson, but, you know, I had him for a little bit, took him for ice cream, and then I shipped him back to his mom. I was never one of the ones that, you know, one of them people that you could say, oh, I watched the baby. So when I got pregnant, I went through a really, really bad case of postpartum or partum depression. I went through depression. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for my mom riding out with me for those 9 months, I don't know what I would have did because, I mean, I had my daughter father in my life. It wasn't like he wasn't there, but sometimes you just need that, your mom, you know, like, you know, I was so grateful to have her. And not, like you said, we talked about pregnancy and having a baby, but I'm here to tell you, it's nothing like when you experience it. Like when you're there, you're going through it. It's no matter what people tell you how it might be, it should be. None of that happens when you're in labor. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mahogany. Postpartum, but I thank you, my child, for clearing that up for me. So she was there for me throughout the whole 9 months. My mom and Mary J. Blige, yes, Mary J. Blige helped me out because I don't know where I would have been without Mary, listening to her and watching this movie called Mahogany. And I watched this movie the whole time I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I remember everybody kept saying, well, what you going to name her? What you going to name her? And I was like, well, She's only going to have three names, and it's either going to be Sparkle, because that was one of my favorite movies, Mahogany, which was my second favorite movie, or Tyler. And I remember my mother was like, well, you better not name her Mahogany. She was like, you better not name her Mahogany. I can see Sparkle, but don't name her Mahogany. And I went with Mahogany. That's probably one of the one times I didn't listen to my mother. But I did name her Mahogany Tyler. And so when I went in labor, 9 o'clock at night, I didn't have her until the next morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I remember the first thing I did was act like, y'all got to get my mother up here. I don't know how to change a pamper. I didn't know how to make a bottle. I didn't know how to do anything. And, I mean, they laughed at me because they couldn't believe that I was really saying. But I was. It was the truth. I had never changed a diaper. I had never fed a baby, nothing, burped a baby. And so I went to Lamar's class, and all I knew how to do was breathe when it was time to have the baby. And nobody told me nothing else after that. So, I mean, it is true. People really don't tell you how serious childbirth is. And you go in there not knowing. And then, you know, and like you said, I don't know how people do it over and over and over again, because each time is a different experience. But
from a man point of view, we have no idea the risk y'all be taking having kids, the health issues y'all go through.
Right. I mean, we were watching
the PMS and the water bloating, y'all swelling up like balloons and stuff. With a 40-ounce or a can of beer, like, okay, just call us when you're ready to go have the baby. And the sickness of throwing up, I'd be like, God. Hey, you know the crazy thing about when my girl got pregnant, I don't want to end up throwing up all the time. I was like, why? I'm sick all the time.
Hold up.
I couldn't eat certain food because it made me sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me.
I got one more caller.
All right.
Hold on 1 minute. I just want to say this real, real quick. My daughter called me from the hospital, and she was like, Mom, they're coming. They're coming. So I'm thinking somebody breaking in the hospital, or they're trying to, you know, shoot the hospital up. And I'm like, who's coming? Who's coming? And she said, the babies are coming. I was like, what the hell? But let's see if we got another caller. Hello?
That's very funny. That's a funny story, Lisa. How are you?
All right.
Hi, Miss Miller.
Hi, Miles. How are you? Lisa, happy Mother's Day to you. Good, Miles.
Thanks.
Good. You're welcome. Lisa, my mother is everything I am because she loves me. My mother raised 1 out of 10. Didn't complain. And she raised me into the young lady that I am, and I'm able to carry on my own. So I am grateful, and I am thankful for my mother.
Thank you, Latoya. Oh, actually, Latoya, you know the other person on the line was my daughter, but you heard her before.
Oh, I said that, but I said, no, that's not her daughter.
Yeah, it's my daughter. But I have my
I recognized her from the last time she was on. She was like for real, real.
I have one more caller. Hold on for a minute.
Lisa, I have one more person I want to speak really fast. One more person I want to speak really fast. Go ahead, Leon.
Miss Lisa.
How you doing?
What's going on? This is Mr. Leon.
How you doing,
King Leon?
I'm doing okay. King Miles, what's going on? Miss Lisa, I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask something of you. The first question is, do you remember the first time you heard my voice?
On Randy show.
Yeah. I kept calling you by your last 4 digits of your telephone number because you didn't want to give me your name.
Yeah, I didn't back then.
Do you remember back then? That was the first time you had came on.
Yeah, 4785.
Yeah, I kept calling you that the whole show until you broke down and told me what your name was. I don't know if you remember that or not. Yeah.
No, I do. I didn't want to take time out for my brother, so that's why I just kept it as being my phone number.
Nah, that was a good show. No, The other thing I want to ask of you, I don't know if you're going to have time to do this. Well, I'll ask you that last, but I'm going to ask something of you first. First of all, I want to say, from that time I called you by your last four digits of your telephone number and to the day, right now, as we're talking right now, you have evolved. You have grown. I've listened to your whole dialogue just be what it is. I watched you come over to Grown Folks Talking and help make one of those shows what it was for that particular time. And so I want to say to you, you know, I applaud you for your growth when you're doing these podcasts, because every single one you did and you have done, you have gotten better and better, each one, from the very first time I called you by your last four digits of your telephone number.
Oh, thank you so very much. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What I want to ask of you is when you are talking and presenting, because I just heard you say the one thing you men don't understand, and what I would like for you to do is put in some men, because every male ain't a man. Mm-hmm. And but you have some of us that are kings, and we do know what to do. We would never leave you on the table. I know I didn't leave my mother's daughter on the table. I know I cut the cord, and I held my daughter before her mother did. So I just would like you to add in some men, because some of us do know what to do. The other thing,
yes,
the other
you're
thing
right.
That
I'm sorry for that.
That's okay. That's okay. So
well,
I haven't learned
it too. But that was my story, and, you know, that's what happened to me. And like I said, I've been with I actually used to work in a maternity department, and I helped a lot of women deliver babies. And the guys was right there. So I do have to applaud that a lot of men are stepping up and being there for their ladies. And I just wish that after the baby come home, they would step up and be part of the journey of the baby, you know, growing up. But I have my son coming on. Could you just stay with us and let him in?
Yeah. Could you, if you have time, could you play the song Mama?
Yes, that's coming on later.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Caller?
Yep. Yes, hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Well, good night, everyone.
Yeah, your name?
I'm T-Sean. I'm Lisa's son.
No, I was just joking, homie.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. I was just calling to say I appreciate, you know what I mean, y'all doing your thing up here on the podcast. Miles, being a co-host with my mom every week, y'all doing your thing, you know what I mean? Keep it up, the good work. But I was just calling to say, Ma, you know what I mean, I love you, you know what I mean, and happy Mother's Day. And you have been there for me through thick and thin, no matter what, you know what I mean? Even when times was, you know, very, very rough. And like you said, it's always good to have someone there for you, you know what I mean? Even when times is hard, you know, because everybody out here don't have people in their corner, you know what I mean? Some people have to go through things on their own and figure things out, you know what I mean? But I just wanted to call and say I love you, you know what I mean? And I really appreciate you. And everything you do and everything you have done for me and my sister and the family. And I just want to say I love you.
Okay, you know we don't say that, but thank you.
Well, I'm saying it.
Lisa, you know, one thing he's saying is true, because, like, if you ever watch sports, you know, like we watch sports, the first thing was, hey, Mom! Always screaming our mom's name.
Yeah.
Mom's
yeah.
always at the game. Mom's always cleaning everything. Like, it's like, Mom is always there.
Always.
Most thing I enjoyed was watching my daughter grow up, you know, helping her, you know, being with her, raising her, and playing with her, taking her out and stuff. That's the best part of my life to this day.
You're right, Miles. And I just want to touch on one more thing. Like, you know, my mom was right about, you know, she helped me with the baby and stuff and such, you know what I mean? Like, I have three other kids, you know what I mean? They're older now. You know, 19 and twins, that's 16. And I never would have thought, you know, having another baby would be so rough. You know what I mean? You know how they have yeah. sicknesses and they have you know, different things going on, and not like the other kids, you know. So I didn't know it would be this rough. You know what I mean? But you know, you got to stick it out, and they didn't ask to be here. You know what I mean? So it was like, just like we didn't ask to be here. We was brought into this world. You know what I mean? But it's like you just gotta do your best and stick with it. You know, and be there for the child. You know what I mean? So it's like, I really love you, Ma. You know what I mean? I just wanted to know that.
Let me ask you a question. When you seen your firstborn, how that made you feel?
Well, I'm not gonna be funny about it, but my firstborn, I might sound silly sounding this, but I planned my firstborn. You know what I mean? I was young, 19 years old, and I was happy. You know what I mean? I was happy. You know what I mean? I didn't know. I wasn't prepared for all the things that came with it. You know what I mean? With the moms and stuff like that. But as far as with my child and my children, like, I mean, I loved the bond. I loved it. You know what I mean? And I was very happy seeing them come out. I mean, I was very hands-on with it. You know what I mean? Like, people could say what they want, but I have been in all my kids' life. You know, like, I'm very hands-on with them. Changed pampers, diapers, bottles, everything. You know what I mean? So it was like, I haven't been absent. I don't miss doctor's appointments, nothing. You know what I mean? It's not too many men out here who could say that, you know? So, like, I was very happy. I'm going to put it like that.
Yeah, we need a lot of them brothers another day, though. We need a lot of them standing up today.
His first three babies were cesarean, so the last one is what he truly got to see be, you know, born natural. You know, it's always different. But
now, Lisa, that's another thing what you just said about that. That is the most dangerous thing, right, to have a cesarean for a woman?
To me, it was the best because you ain't get no pain.
I still couldn't believe a baby coming out, you know, excuse me, we all grown, coming out of a vagina. Like, how the heck that vagina grow up that big?
Yeah.
Y'all expand like a, I mean, like, I be saying, yo, I be trying to get up in there, and now they just open up like that. It's crazy how y'all body just open up like that, and something that big comes sliding out of there. And you got the doctor sitting there like a back catcher.
But let me tell you, the whole thing is that women don't realize is that our pelvics, that's what have to open up. Like our pelvics has to actually open up to let the baby out. That's the part that actually be killing us. It's not the baby coming out. It's your bone coming apart to let that baby come out of the part that's been holding it all the months. If men get to realize that, they will realize that. Because you imagine your bone is being for a baby to be for the baby to be able to come out. That's the part. Once we get to the point, that's when they say 10 centimeters, that's how much it takes for it to open up for the baby to come out. Once the baby get there, the head, that ain't nothing. It's the part of the killing you to get it out of there. But, you know, that's our thing that we got, you know, from God, that we was going to have birth pains. But I'm telling you, every kid that I had when I first seen them, I maybe didn't forget what I went through, but let me tell you, I was thankful and blessed that, first of all, I love my daughter, but I've always wanted a son. And when God blessed me with my son, it was like, it was a good day for me, because I think that, I only know black men, really, but when he blessed me with a black man, I felt that I can make this person, one black guy, grow up and be a good thing in the world. And that's why I just tried to invest in him, like the goodness of being, like to be able to be good to a woman, to be a good person on the earth. You know what I mean? You get that chance to do what you need to do because you got a clay. Your baby's like clay. You can mold them. Not make them be your slave, but mold them to be the right person in this world and give something back. And that's why with my daughter and my son, it was nothing more important than being a mother, because that's the job God gave you, and that's the one that you need to perform. Now I can sit, look back and say, you know, I'm a good and faithful servant. I did what I needed to do. You know what I mean? And I just look at them and I say, you know, I might have went without stuff. I might have didn't go to places I wanted to go. I might have had money like I wanted to have. But you know what? When I look at their faces and I know they're happy, that's all I needed. Because things you can always get. But you love. Yes, go ahead.
Lisa, do you spoil your grandkids?
I do. But, you know, they get big now. And
I do, too.
They don't like to call. You know, the boys don't like to call. And, you know, we have another talk show on baby mothers. Because baby mothers, we got to talk about that one day, too. But, But, you know, I love all my grandchildren, all my nieces and nephews. Look, I'm a humanitarian. I love people. You know what I mean? No matter what. You know what I mean? I try to give my best because that's what we're here for. We're here to love. And not just a small circle, but the whole circle. You know what I mean? And the ones that you can't love, then you just like. But you don't have to hate.
Because somewhere down the line, these kids today, somebody dropped the ball because it's just ridiculous out there. But I'm just glad I grew up in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and learned a lot, though.
But you're dealing with young – see, it's different. Like, when we was young and had kids, our parents taught us how to cook, clean, wash clothes, and take care of each other. But nowadays, these young kids, they don't got that same experience as we had. So when they become parents or adults, it don't click because it wasn't put in them. You got to instill. How's somebody going to know what to do if you didn't? You know what I mean? You got to be able to reel and instill what's going on in the world. And, you know, I work and I have young people, and I'd be like, did you do this? Oh, well, it look right. It look okay. I don't need to do it. What you mean it look right? You don't need to do it. You do it because somebody told you to do it. You know what I mean? Like, they come out with some strange love stuff. Okay, so Randy want me to say good night. You know, my brother's the one. Miles, I want to thank you so very much. All the guests that call, I want to thank you. And for the gentlemen, thank you for remembering 4785. And
King Leon.
Yes, thank you for the compliment. And with Toya, I'm always happy to hear your voice. And my daughter and my son, thank you for supporting me, as you always do. And all the women, please enjoy your weekend. And if you get or you don't get, don't worry about it. It's not going to stop you from being a mom. You know what I mean? Every Mother's Day is not the same, but the main thing is, once you become a mom, you always a mom, no matter what. Make sure you listen to all the shows. My brother's show on tomorrow. Keeping It Real with Jay Sean. Shadi's show is on Saturdays. Let's Talk About It. Then you got Dre on Monday.
At 6 o'clock tomorrow.
And, you know, as I said, you know, my mind is a little messed up tonight, but it's messed up a lot of nights. But tune into their shows. This is what keeps us going. When you listen to their shows, it keeps us going. And like the gentleman said, we all are growing. But when you stay stagnant, then you're not helping anyone. But if you're growing, then I know that I'm getting to somebody. You know what I mean? My whole goal is, that's why I say the Lisa experience. I'm telling you my story so that maybe something out of my story, you could make it better because you heard my story and you won't make the same mistakes, or maybe you might take something I said and make it better, because that's what happened. When we walk this journey to be a certain age, if we don't have wisdom, then we didn't learn anything from the beginning. So I hope some of the wisdom I have that I'm sharing it out there with all of you, that you could take it with you. And Miles, I love
Amen
you.
To that.
I thank you for coming and sharing your stories. I love that you got my back. You know what I mean? And
Happy Mother's Day to you and your daughter.
And also enjoy. We're going to take you out on our favorite song, My Mama. And we see you next week.
All right. Good night, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you listening.
Pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. So back at the time, I never thought I'd be moving alive. Back and take my mama's place, suspended from school. Scared to go home, I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Had tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. Always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay it back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, there ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father. He was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. Hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was giving. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Hey, dear mama. You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. There's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.